It is 8:09. We ran a little late in the last segment, but I think all of you that were listening would say it was worth it. What a pleasure to meet Mrs. Bush. Heard so many wonderful things about her, and now I know they are absolutely everyone true. Some of you text me and said, you know, I can't tell who you're supporting because every time somebody comes in, it sounds like you're supporting them. Well, then that means I'm coming across authentically, because when they're here, I'm engaged. I'm excited about them being here. I love talking with them, and they all have great ideas. So good. I'm glad you can't tell, but obviously enthusiastic about Jonathan, about Ben, about Robert, about Garrett. Kenny, help me out. Who am I missing here? David Jones.
You forgot about me.
Well, you're not running for governor.
No.
Although Jason Briggs is running for governor.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. So Kenny Chinkett is here. I know I left out some names. Forgive me. I was up late last night watching the Indiana Fever, who were playing out in L.A. against the Los Angeles Sparks. I'm a huge Caitlin Clark fan. You guys know that. And that was fun to watch last night. And they won. Indiana won. So that was good, too. Kenny Chinkett is here.
Good morning. How's it going?
Fabulous as always. T-Bill is in the house. T-Bill, thank you for the pizza.
Don't thank me. Thank Paul.
Well, you got it. I mean, Paul, thank you at Moran's for making it, but, you know.
It's like, you know, Paul and I's relationship's like Eric and I's. He's the brains of the operation. I'm the looks.
No applause on that one.
Can we vote on that?
Yeah, I think that that's a great point, Jason. We should vote on that. And I think, T-Bill, you probably would not get any votes.
I mean, I'd vote for myself.
I mean, we ask the question all the time. Erica, who's remarkable, yeah. Is she actually legally blind?
No. Oh, he's getting upset now.
Oh, I can see
no
it.
More pizza for you.
I can see
no,
it.
No. Actually, I don't know if it was you that was in the other day. I had texted you something, or you were talking to somebody on the show the other day.
I was talking about you.
Yeah. And I think I had texted you. I said, Ray, you're not that funny. Because
no,
it was,
you're right.
Yeah,
I'm hilarious.
Because everybody says, hey, Erica, are you blind? Like, are your eyes okay?
Well,
that's the first thing Dom says to her every time he sees her.
That started with Dominic. Jason Briggs is here. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm very well. We saw you up at the convention.
We did. That was a great.
It really was.
It was an absolutely amazing convention.
Yeah, absolutely. Reggie Groff is here. You set this all up. Why don't you introduce your additional guest?
All right. Well, good morning, Ray. How are you?
I'm fabulous, man. I mean, really, honestly, I am fabulous.
Well,
it's true.
Yeah.
Well, if you look up the dictionary, you look up the word fabulous, you'll see my picture twice.
You're looking good, my brother.
What's that?
We take a vote on that.
I like that.
Well. Yeah. The peanut gallery weighed in. Yeah, thank you.
So I've got with me, this is Bruce Sleeper.
How you doing, Bruce?
And this is Jack Dutton here. And
Jack Dutton?
Duffin.
Jack
Duffin.
Duffin.
Oh, I thought you said Dutton.
He did.
I did.
Are you
descendant
related to
John?
You know, exactly.
I've been called Jack. I've been called Jake. Whatever you want to call me, I'm totally fine.
Just don't call you late for dinner.
Don't call me that. No.
Yeah, that's what I've always said.
Jack.
Obviously,
he's an
eater. No one has.
How old are you, Jack?
How old am I? Yes. I'm 23, coming on 24.
20, and he is an absolute genius and when it comes to trains and many other things.
Really,
Jack, did you meet
right
the beautiful young woman that walked out with Jonathan Bush, who is also 23? Big smile?
I don't know how my girlfriend would feel about that.
Oh, well. Hey, I tried.
I told her to listen in on this radio show.
Well, that was a mistake.
Yeah, I'm realizing that now.
When you get home, it may not work out
points,
so well.
Yeah. You just earned points.
Oh, well.
All right, so either Jason or Reggie, tell us why you're here.
Well, why don't I just start off, which is, you know, I ultimately had heard about the destruction of the rail lines that's set to take place between Portland and Freiburg, and then also Brunswick to Augusta, in order to make trails for biking, and as opposed to rail and trail together, you know, that they want to tear all the tracks up. And I was, you know, extremely irritated about it. I was going to get on my high horse.
Would you say you were incensed?
I will definitely say that. And I just, you know, I decided to kind of dig in and find out what's going on. You know, the legislation's already been passed to tear the tracks up in order to make 30 miles of biking track. And at the end of the day, you know, they've got a lot of sections that already have rail and trail side by side. But you've got about 6 miles where, you know, you get some marshland and some other stuff that makes it difficult to have rail and trail. So they want to tear up all the tracks. And you look along the Kennebec River, It's absolutely gorgeous scenery right along the river, which would be fantastic for having any kind of passenger rail or and freight and anything going up that neck of the woods. Ultimately, rail is getting more and more popular again. I mean, but you look at what's going on with Amtrak.
Right.
They're adding on another train set. They're going to be putting on another stop, it looks like, on the West Falmouth exit. You know, and that's a lot of that's Bowdoin students going to college.
Right.
Well, I mean, think about Colby. Think about what it does to a community to have an active train stop in these towns. So at a point when we have the economy changing, AI changing stuff, the world's going through transformation, why start tearing up infrastructure, which is the film that I'm producing. In fact, the trailer you can see at savemainrails.org, Save Main Rails. You can watch the trailer, and it's a half-hour film that I'm producing about it. So ultimately reached out to Bruce from Train Riders Northeast, and then Jason and Jack, who are from Conway Scenic Railway, and got involved with them, and that's where we are. So I'll give it to the team here to talk about what the issues are.
Well, I just want to make a comment first. What I don't understand, I have nothing against bikes or bike trails. I used to ride a bike before I got fat. I have nothing against them. But I don't understand this obsession with destroying everything over bike trails. Route 1 across from Lynn Libby and Route 1 down by Aquaboggan, they were going to make it a one-lane way instead of two lanes so that they could have bike trails. And I look fine.
On Route 1.
Yeah, you want to ride a bike? Fine. God love you. I used to love to ride bikes. But bottom line is, these roads were built for automobiles. And the trains, you know, we drove out the industry in the northern Maine area, so we lost a critical mass of goods to ship. But freight rail is a very efficient way to do things. We can't get rid of all the railroad. And then at some point, if we ever rebuild Maine with someone who has a lick of sense about how to do things, we'll have to rebuild this all again because some people will need to ship with regard to trains. Now, I know you guys are talking about something a little different here, but the concept is still there. Jason, you and I had a chance at the convention to talk a little bit about this then.
We did. So, of course, I work for the Conway Scenic Railroad that's owned by the Swerks, and David Swerks spent over 28 years working for a company called the Pinsley Group, and they own several small railroads throughout the country. Came to Maine and he bought a bus company. So downtown Portland, we employ about 20 people at VIP Tour and Charter Bus Company that I worked at for 34 years. So we could do business together in both states. So David has the rights to the track on the New Hampshire side of this particular mountain division that absolutely runs through Windham, who, bless his heart, former Senator Bill Diamond was supportive.
Very supportive.
And the town and the planning people in Windham are very supportive, too. We went there and were sure to getting hugs and saying, geez, this would be great to help us clean up this particular mess at the site. What's it? It's not named after you, is it?
No.
So David, we're getting ready to put this plan together, and it is for freight. You know, that rail hasn't been operated for 38 to 40 years. But to take it up right now, the state... To take up 10 miles is $11.1 million. 10 miles, $11.1 million.
All right, let me make sure what you just said. To take up the rail that already exists is $11.1 million.
10 miles of it.
10 miles.
10 miles.
10 miles is $11.1 million. So,
so
a little over $1 million.
57 miles, roughly, of that track. So figure that out at $1.1 million. So at half of that, we could probably make it and keep it up to what it needs to be to operate freight. So that being said, and I'm going to go back and forth a little thing. So the governor of New Hampshire has been very supportive, and she sent the governor of Maine a letter about 6 weeks ago saying it would make sense for the two states to work together. And I want to say that Commissioner Duguay, that works for Governor Mills, is an awesome fellow. And
Eddie Duguay?
Eddie Duguay.
Yes. Yeah, he is an awesome fellow. I agree with that.
He went with us for 15 hours last August, and we went up and down that track and visited businesses that would use freight. I had scheduled the day at 15 to 20-minute visits. We spent at Green Thumb Farms an hour and a half, Estes, Wadsworth's. We visited gravel pits And so the fellows that own gravel pits, for example, my understanding is they can be competitive within 50 to 70 miles from their site by trucking stuff, trucking the aggregates and gravel. If they use freight, they can compete 300 miles away.
Wow.
So it gives them a lot of opportunity.
Huge competitive advantage.
So most of these businesses that are on that route have wanted to come back, and we have letters of interest from all of them. Plus, we have a tremendous amount of people, because New Hampshire is a little bit different opinion about business in New Hampshire.
Really? And you think? Maybe?
Yeah, and they have an awesome governor. And
Kelly,
you know,
Ayotte and Chris Sununu, they're very pro-business. And what was the governor's reply to Kelly saying we should work together?
Well, we haven't heard yet, but it looks like she's passed the message down. And
how long ago was the letter written?
It's just 6 weeks. It's just been 6 weeks.
Wow.
So that's really not a long time. No, it was one.
A lot of time to digest?
It was one page. And
were big words in it that might be hard to comprehend?
Yeah, it could be. But don't take me down that road, Ray. We still have 7 months left. So we're trying to do the freight. Conway Scenic Railroad employs 80 people right now. 15 of those live in Maine. 10 of them in the 2nd District, 5 in the 1st District. And we have our food supplies. We're buying Maine whoopie pies. We carry hundreds of thousands of people a year. This is the second largest tourist attraction in the state of New Hampshire after the White Mountains. Our economic impact to the North Conway region is $45 million. And National Geographic is the one that came up with the study that says that we are the second largest attraction in the White Mountain region after the White Mountains. So we employ a lot of people. We're trying to do business. We have the railroads that are north of us signing with a memorandum of understanding to operate with them, and that's in Vermont. So we have an opportunity to send freight from New Hampshire to Maine and points south, and from Maine to New Hampshire and points north and west. Does that make sense? I mean, it seems to me. You know, when I started working for the railroad, I thought my liberal and progressive friends would be all about it, because we'd take 3.5 trucks off the road to put in one rail car. It costs a lot less to operate the rail. And to me, that seemed to make common sense. So I don't know. I love that.
You guys hear that?
Is that your ring?
That is my ring. That tells you how much I love trains.
Well, that's great.
It's one of my favorite sounds in the whole world.
That's
as a
wonderful.
Little boy, I got to ride in the caboose on a train in my hometown. It came right through my hometown, and I just was fascinated with it. I just thought it was great. So that's my tone. I just wanted you to hear it.
So we order thousands of Maine whoopie pies a year for our food cart, plus the ones that we do with another program on the buses, and tens of thousands of Maine potato chips from Fox in Aroostook County, where I grew up, and Poland Springs water and some Maine beers. And, of course, we have New Hampshire items as well. So we're supporting all these small businesses, and all the businesses that we buy from, with the exception of Poland Spring, are all small family operations.
Operations, right. We know
in Maine and New Hampshire. And, you know, they're all great products. The people will be on the bus or on the train, and they take the potato chip bag, turn it over, take a picture of it, because when they get home, they want to order some. And the same thing with the whoopie pies, and I think those are actually made in Farmington. So, you know, we do a lot to promote Maine products, and we'd like to do business in Maine and employ a lot more Maine people. And, you know, I want to commend Jack here. I met him 2 or 3 years ago, and he's probably one of the smartest railroad people you'd ever meet. And there's another young man that's just 20 years old that works up, and his name's Finn Kelly, with the new railroad that actually is Moosehead, but it's, what do they call themselves?
Cumberland and Knox.
So he's a conductor, a trainman, and the salesperson. So we have all these young people starting to get involved with rail again across Maine and New Hampshire, and I mean younger than 30, and some younger than 25, several of them. And this is a career for them. So we're hoping to be successful. Reggie's video we've done has been amazing. And that we actually advertised on the the red bags at the convention on one side, you know, Save Main Rail. And we've had a lot of response. It's been very good. We just need to get this across the finish line. So we have a team that's putting together the proposal as we speak for the state to see if we can make this work. Other railroad folks in the past said this can't be done, but you know, I don't know if they literally went around and actually met with the people along that track.
You know what my daddy always said? My daddy said, can't means I don't wanna.
I don't wanna.
So we have people in this room who do wanna. I'm a big supporter of this. I love this issue, and I talked a little bit about it. Reggie and I have talked about it. I love trains. I think trains are magical in many ways. One of the things Dee Dee and I want to do is take a train ride across the country because of what it will teach us and let us see. And I think if Maine's economy is ever going to become what it should be, not what it could be, what it should be, we're going to have freight rail here. Yeah. If
we are, and we're also going to need legislators like Kenny that have met a payroll. Do you meet a payroll every week?
I do.
So, you know, there's a big difference.
Yeah, but he pays them
in 2010.
I don't know if that works.
When the legislature turned.
Yeah.
Stop back and think who all the leaders were in the top three positions of the House and the Senate. Every one of them owned a Maine business.
Yeah.
Every one of them. Pharmacy, mustard plant, cleaners, headstone company, everybody.
And you know what, Jason? You know what we didn't have back then? We did not have a GDP growth of 0.0%. We did not.
Yep.
And people need to recognize truth when it's right in front of them.
Yep.
We did not have a GDP growth that was the second lowest in the country. We had an economy that was on the move, and our people were prospering.
Yep. So we need candidates and winners that have met a payroll. I think
absolutely.
That's so important.
Yes.
And that's why Kenny for the Senate would be a great choice for people.
That hat's sitting right in front of you, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I like it.
So is the baby Jesus, by the way.
Oh, I see him.
Yeah.
Looks like a little me, but it's Jesus.
Wow.
It's got the beard. It looks like little... me. The hair's a little
longer. The hair's longer.
So here's your official railroad pin.
Oh, thank you.
That's nice.
I appreciate that. I love getting stuff like that. Thank you.
You're
sincerely. Yeah, you know, it's my wife, actually, we were down at Ford's Theater in D.C. with the inauguration, and there was one of those little baby Jesuses on the banister in the balcony, and we started seeing them everywhere once we saw the first one. So we're like, we love Jesus, so we bought a bag of 100 of them. We put them out everywhere, especially in the studio, just to remind people.
So if anybody
I
has...
I bet you, you know, I'm going to... No, I'm not going to say this because people will be like, there you go again. But go ahead.
Yeah, that's okay. So I, you know, if anybody has questions on railroads anywhere in the country, this is a good time to actually test the young man sitting next to me that our rail system in Maine and New Hampshire especially, but anywhere in the country. And then, of course, with Bruce, with Train Riders Northeast, which this organization, and Bruce has been part of that since they started.
Right? Well, I thought the last name was appropriate for a train sleeper car, you know?
I tried to get on a train where I had a sleeper car.
Yeah.
And you go up to the guy, to the attendant at the beginning, and they get your name. So they call your name. Sleeper, I said. Yeah? It's a sleeping car.
Yeah.
It took about 5 minutes to convince.
I bet. That's one of the great romantic things about trains is the sleeper car.
Yes.
You know, it's you guys all have seen the movie White Christmas. That was a big deal. So, Jack, tell us about yourself. You're 23.
I am 23.
And that's a big position to be in at the age of 23. Tell us about trains.
Yeah, it's up. I'll do my best. I first got introduced to trains when I rode the Conway Scenic Railroad at the age of 5. My mother brought me up there, and we... found this beautiful cream and maroon colored train station with actual trains behind it. Now, all the railroad lines in my hometown have been transformed into bike paths, so it kind of meant nothing to me. But then we get on the train, it's being pulled by our steam locomotive, there's water dripping onto my hands, and I'm like, Mom, how is it raining? It's a bright sunny day. And she's like, no, sweetie, that's the steam cloud from the engine condensing and falling down onto your hands. And I was sold.
I bet.
So, grew up kind of loving trains after that, but then I started reading all sorts of train documentation I could find, which led me to read the state of New Hampshire's rail plan of 2012. I think I was probably 11 when I first read that, and I was like, wait a minute, trains are more than... There's a romance to the rails. We've discussed that here. In fact, some of the folks out there in the building, we were talking about, you know, oh, you know, my dad brought me onto the train, or, you know, I rode in the caboose, or I climbed onto the side of boxcars, which, by the way, don't do that. But people have this romantic vision of the rails that I really kind of love. But then I'm like, wait a minute. Trains also have legitimate value in this world. They're the most efficient way to move freight over the surface of the earth. A freight train can move a ton of freight on a gallon of fuel, almost 500 miles. I mean, it's just steel wheels against steel rail. You can't really get much more efficient in moving stuff than that. So after a while of trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, by pure luck, I met at a train riders Northeast meeting. Thank you, Bruce. I met David Swerk for the first time. Also, Jason, I'm pretty sure you were there, but my eyes were kind of focused on Dave, so you're going to have to forgive me. I at least know you now. And so I told him my story of riding the railroad as a little boy, and he told me his because he rode the train when he was a little kid, came back about 50 years later, and bought the place. And so he's like, so you're about to get a marketing degree. Do you want a job? I was like, yeah, I could have started yesterday.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was 2024.
Sounds like the way I got my job here.
I've heard it's a very New England way of getting a job. Yeah. It's just someone sort of coming up to you and saying, hey, you seem like you know what you're doing. You want a job?
That's exactly what happened here. Almost 23 years ago.
What an amazing blessing that
Crazy.
Is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I was, by that point, I had heard about the Mountain Division project and the concept of turning the railroad into a bike path. And, again, my town's got two. And I kind of prefer that they were railroads. In fact, I see people at the depot sitting there after a bike ride, and they're like, man, wouldn't it be great if there were trains here again? Mm. I'm like, you never know what you wish you had until it's gone, don't you? So that was about 2024, and I've been with the railroad as the sales rep ever since, and Jason occasionally drags me around and tells people I know everything about trains, and I almost feel slightly intimidated because what if I get asked the question and I don't have an answer for it?
That hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it sounds like you know a lot, and that's important so that when somebody tries to challenge you, you can give them the facts.
Well,
they
yeah.
may ignore them, but you at least give them the facts. I agree. I mean, I've never understood why we did to Maine what we did to it. I've never gotten it. And part of it, Matt Jacobson, you guys must know him.
Yep.
Matt ran the railroad for a while, yeah. and... You listen to Matt wax poetic about the railroad, and you'll say to yourselves, what did we do here?
My dad worked on a project with Matt Jacobson and gave me a 30-minute phone call with the guy, and it really is incredible to sit down and listen to him talk about his time with the railroads, because it's just fascinating to hear how we treat other modes of transportation, like the trucking industry, the airlines, the seaports, the roads, and then what we did to the railroads. One of the more fascinating things I've heard about the Mountain Division line in particular is some people say that the Mountain Division line never made any profit for any of the businesses that operated it, which railroads being for-profit businesses, that doesn't make a lick of sense, especially in our case, because we're a private business and we make money off the New Hampshire portion of the Mountain Division. So it doesn't really hold weight.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, this is what they do. They demonize something they don't want, and then they get people to believe it, even though it's not true. And the next thing you know, it goes away. It's like the dodo bird, and it's unfortunate. I think Maine would be well served with a robust rail system here. Reggie, I'm so glad you've done this documentary. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, how many people are going to bike 30 miles and come back? You know, you might take
Bill Green. He told me he bikes 1,000 miles a year.
I mean, a week?
It's a tiny percentage.
No, a year.
Oh.
Yeah.
And the other part of this is that you're looking at, you're talking trails that are not supposed to have any kind of motorized vehicles on them. So, you know, they're the trails, you know, legally should not have snowmobiles on these trails once they're built. I mean, there's just so many inconsistencies and there's so many trails in Maine to begin with, and so to tear up the infrastructure is quite a problem. Bruce, do you want to add anything to that?
Sure. As the head of Train Riders Northeast, we're most interested in passenger rail, but here's the catch. You suggested that perhaps someday we may go back and rebuild the infrastructure that's been torn up. It won't happen because it costs 10 times as much or five times as much to put down new rail where it's been torn up as it does to upgrade rail that's already there.
Oh, that's crazy.
So it will, once it's gone, it's gone. That means no passenger or freight ever again up to North Conway. No passenger or freight ever again from Brunswick to Augusta. That means no passenger service ever again to Augusta, Maine, to our state capital.
So, Jason, I know you're a keen observer of the government. And Reggie, I know you pay attention too. I don't know you other two gentlemen until this morning. But at a time when Maine's government tries to follow everything California does, and California has tried to spend a gazillion dollars on rail, but because they don't know how to run anything, they've not been successful. Why isn't this government adopting rail here because of its efficiency? You know, businesses tell me all the time, one of the reasons they don't come here is they don't have an efficient way to truck their goods. Everything has to go over the highway. When diesel is $5+ a gallon, which it's been twice in the last 6 years, how does that make sense? But they could do it on rail, and you just talked about the expansion of the area by which they could compete if they had rail. Why don't we want people to win?
And that's not to mention the trash removal, because communities and both states, Maine and New Hampshire even more so, are starting to run into a trash problem. And a lot of that could be moved by train to other locations that are still accepting it and filling old mine locations.
Right.
And they're doing that all over the Northeast. And it's a lot less expensive to ship it by rail. There are developers in New Hampshire and Maine that would like to start developing some of the land that's on the sides of the, on both sides of the track, going up, especially through, you know, Hiram and Brownfield and other small communities. And the taxes that the community could make is huge for a little town.
Yeah.
I mean, if a little town squabbles over $400 expense when they have a town meeting, can you imagine?
Do.
And they do, and because I've been to them. But can you imagine if they had a new $200,000 tax from a particular developer that's built a, either a transfer station, or we have propane, we have coal folks on the New Hampshire side that would like to ship in both directions. We have cement that comes from Canada. You know, Cement Quebec, if you ever travel up the 117 or 20 trucks a day that come from Poland Springs down 117, and then the Cement Quebec trucks, they have a small facility in Baldwin, right off the road. You don't even realize it's there, but it's along the tracks. They truck from Canada every day, cement, every day. And I don't know what the number is, but it's a terrific amount. So
well, particularly with Dragon Cement closing, it's our really our only close-by resource.
And there's a lot of potential, so there's a lot of potential in development, new taxes for small communities, and job creation. New Hampshire has been gaining Maine businesses over the last several years, a number that would astonish people. And I don't want to repeat them in case the numbers I've been told are wrong. But
well, let's face it, Chris Sununu used to say Maine was the greatest business attraction New Hampshire had.
Well, Massachusetts is beating us at the moment. Because Governor Ayotte did say that they're just flocking across the border from there. So we don't want to, I like her motto, it's don't mess us up.
Yeah, right. Well, so, you know, it's live free and die there, and they live by that. Our tax burden here is second, third, or fourth, depending on whether you include all the taxes. Theirs is 46, that alone. And their infrastructure is sound. Ours is ranked dead last in the country. It's a difference in philosophies. They believe that the government in New Hampshire is a servancy government. The government here believes they're tyrants. You don't have to respond to that.
I just want to mention that, you know, for people who want to make a difference, they should be reaching out to their local townspeople along the rails. They should be reaching out to legislators and letting their voice be heard. And that's at the end of the day, even though, it, you know, there is a plan right now by the DOT to tear it up, starting in 6 months with the Mountain Division line heading towards Freiburg. You know, it hasn't happened yet. And hopefully my documentary doesn't end filming them tearing up the rail lines. But it's a strong possibility. At this point, in fact, I'd say Conway Scenic is probably the best chance they have of not. Because actually, if a business actually takes over the rail line, that does take precedent over a trail. Yeah. And that is still a hope. Is there anything you want to add to that, Bruce?
I think the other thing that needs to be borne in mind is that this has always been passenger rail, at least, and freight as well. It's always been a nonpartisan thing.
Right.
We just had in the last legislature, we just had a bill to try and do something for getting service passenger service up to Bangor. In the Senate, we lost by one vote. They were both Republicans, and the vote for that was almost evenly split between the parties. So everybody out there knows a good thing, and they've got to preserve it by working on the freight side first and maybe following up with the passenger later on.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, and Jason, I'm glad you brought up Bill Diamond. He was in here many, many times speaking about his advocacy for this. We all hold him up as a statesman and someone who really understood Maine. We need to do that now with freight rail.
And hopefully Kenny Forseni will come on board with us.
Kenny, you want to make an announcement right here, right now?
Oh, I'm all in. I mean, is that fair?
Well, that's fair.
I love that. All in means yes, right?
All in means yes.
I just want to make sure.
The reason I don't ever want to leave this state is because I love this state. And I love this state because of the traditions of this state. And rail is a key component. Fishing, rail, you know. The beauty that we have in this state, right, coupled with the amazing nostalgia of these type of things that we should be able to do bike pass without screwing up our rail service. I don't understand that. You know, I remember last time I ran, I had one of these bikers call me, and they're like, you know, it's not that big of a deal. I'm like, yeah, but you're talking about upending an entire system here just so that way you can get something that we can have maybe half the year on good weather days that we're going to use for that. That doesn't make any sense. I'm like, this is a cornerstone traditional industry in this state, you know, and we don't have infrastructure. We're not going to have a 95 going up, you know, the Western Corridor or anything like that. This is our best chance of mass transport to Western Maine into the White Mountains.
I like that comment.
You know, I mean,
it's 95 going west.
Well, yep. I mean, surely, you know.
You could say you can't get there from here.
You can't get there from here.
It is difficult.
But, I mean, that's it. People, like you said, you know, all the Democrats want, you know, less CO2 and all that stuff. This provides that because we're able to move things, more people, more freight, with less impact to the environment than
more
what we do with our than our trucking system. So. I get up there and, you know, listen, I'm with you guys 100% on that thing. We don't need to, it shouldn't be a this or that situation. It shouldn't be, we have to get rid of the rail to save the bikes. That's fine if you want a bike. We got plenty of bike rails. They already are doing too much stuff with the bikes. We shouldn't be impacting our transportation to accommodate some people that want to go cycling.
Well,
I love
Kenny,
you, Bill Green, but if you're against, Bill's on the train side.
I'm sure he is too. Because, for example, they wanted to create that choke point on Route 1 next to Lynn Libby. Bill Green texted me and said, "The Eastern Trail's right there. What are they thinking?"
Yeah, it just makes no sense to me. If we're getting rid of the character of the state of Maine,
it's kind of like Bill Diamond. You know, they're peas in the pods. They're icons. We should listen to our icons, don't you think?
Well, I mean,
Jason, do you think we should listen to our icons?
I think that's a great idea.
I mean, it's Bill Green's Maine, for God's sakes.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, no. The thing is, we do this. We get rid of our identity as a state. You know, you might as well just get rid of the working waterfronts. Might as well just get rid of the rail. Just get rid of it all. If we're just and we'll just put up windmills everywhere, and we'll wreck the rest of the land with solar farms. That's what we'll do. I mean, if that seems to be the plan that they want to implement, rather than actually have preservation of vacation land. It's vacation land because of stuff like this.
And then we can all eat tofu for dinner.
Right.
That would be good.
People
fried tofu. Think about that, Kenny. You could serve it at the bar.
People in this state love trains. Have you ever gone to the Polar Express down during Christmas time?
Oh, yeah, of course.
You can't get a damn ticket for that thing. And that's in Portland. Like, that's like people love trains. They don't even realize. I mean, if they had more accessibility to it, they would use
this.
It. Oh,
well,
boy, here we go.
By the way, you should look at what the how many people are riding the train from Belfast to the Common Ground Fair. They had 26,000 people.
Wow.
Full-size train.
Yeah.
Imagine what it would be like to take a train to Freiburg from Portland or coming from New Hampshire. You think about how congested Freiburg is.
Yeah.
And they've looked at having passenger vans going from the potential train stop right to the back of the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be amazing.
Well, I got a pretty big truck. It fits five people. So 26,000 divided by five, I think it'd take me, 5,200 trips or something like that.
Or you could make it into a roving parking lot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah. Two things. First of all, one of the things that people can do if they want to help on this is to join Trade Riders Northeast. And we're having an annual meeting up at Bowdoin College on June 4th. Anybody wants to come?
What's the website?
It's trainridersne.org. Although we just switched to a new site, it's the same address, but it's in a work in progress today. As of yesterday, it was different, but today it's that way. So, but it's there. And the other point, I'm forgetting what I've lost my train of thought on.
Well, the point is, you know, and I've got a book that's coming out here in about 6 weeks. And it's about the pillars, the five pillars of a strong economy. And one of those pillars is sound infrastructure. And part of that is having a diversity of infrastructure so that businesses can take advantage of what suits them best, not what they're dictated to. And having freight rail available, we've talked about it here for years on this station, not just when Matt was here. Jason, I believe you've been here before about it. We talk about it. There's a romantic side to trains, but there's also a utility side to trains. And the utility side will help build our economy, and Maine needs economic growth.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, and I would imagine with your documentary, you should be able to, AI is a useful tool now at this point, and you could very easily, or you could probably just take real footage of families in the cars, in a train, kids looking out the window, they got a hot, like everybody's having a great time, and you put that image out there and say, do you want this, or the next image, just an empty trail with one bicyclist at the very far end. I mean, that's what we're getting. That's what we're
Daddy,
giving up.
Daddy,
that's
there's it. A moose.
That's it.
Daddy,
exactly.
I saw a moose.
Yeah. Versus one bicyclist and a big old wide open trail with nothing. So those are your choices.
When the weather is nice.
Correct, like, yeah.
When it's not raining out, when it's not nighttime, when it's not snowing.
When it's
not
January, yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, that's what it comes down to is, which do we want? Do we want that nostalgia? Do we want that intimacy? Do we want that connection to our community? Or do we just want a bike path so that way somebody can, you know, post it on their social media?
30 miles, 35 miles, not just 5 miles. There's
exactly.
Places to go 5 miles.
Yeah.
Well, Freiburg did a great job. They put, if you've been up, when you go to the fair, if you look to the left, the tracks are still there and intact and aren't bad at all. And then next to it, they built a trail. And so that was smart. They were thinking ahead. And the town fathers there did a good job with that. So everybody's a winner in that particular community, so we can do and work that together. So we appreciate you having us. And, Kenny, thank you for offering to support rail. And, of course, I've been working the circuit, and it's, you know, it's the people that have owned a business that are the ones that are supporters. We have three or four very well-known Democrats in the legislature that have been very supportive, and I don't want to mention any names. I don't want to forget somebody. But, I mean, they're wearing the railroad buttons every day, and they've been real troopers.
Well, one of you said this should not be a partisan issue.
That's right.
This is a Maine issue.
They said it is, and it's a common sense issue.
Absolutely.
It really is.
We don't want to lose our cultural identity.
Well, we could put Dove sitting on the front of the train, of the engine, waving at everybody and say, it's about common sense.
I think you're probably going to get a meme now after that.
I'm sure I will.
So, again, the website is savemainrails.org. And, of course, you've got the trainridersne.org as well. And so we'd like to, you know, certainly invite people to comment and create discussion. If anybody wants to actually even speak in our film, a documentary from both sides, I'm looking for people from both sides of the issue.
So it's trainridersne.org,
right,
and savemainrail.org.
Correct.
Okay.
Rails. Yeah.
Rails.
Yeah, I think it'll both.
If Dee Dee were here, we would have it up on the website. She's not. I'm incompetent. We all know that. Mm-hmm. But she might do that from Florida if she's listening right now. She knows how much I love trains. She does too. Like I said, we want to take a trip across the country on a train. We're looking forward to doing that.
Beautiful.
And guys, I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
Will you come back again?
I'd love to.
Yeah, this was great. We do have to run. We ran a little late in this segment, but I think it was well worth it. Hopefully, having you guys here will give everybody a taste of what's possible. We need to be thinking about what's possible in the state of Maine. We'll be right back. At the Town Farm, they believe in second chances. Their holistic recovery program from drugs or alcohol blends sobriety, faith, fellowship, and hard work, helping men rebuild their lives with purpose. They are recycling a time-honored tradition, giving men a helping hand up, not a hand out. Their team is vetted, reliable, and ready to work. From residential to commercial jobs, they are looking for opportunities to make a difference, one project at a time. Need dependable workers? Whether it's a specific project or an ongoing temporary labor opportunity, their men are ready to step in and get the job done. Partner with the Town Farm today. Call them at 797-7997. That's 797-7997. One more time, 797-7997.
Hi, I'm Dave Stearns from Scarborough, and I was born in Maine and raised in Maine and educated in Maine and very proud to be a Mainer. I recently downsized my life a little and decided to cut back, and all of a sudden woke up and realized that my taxes were in a strange place, that the education level in Maine has dropped, and that there were boys playing in girls' sports. I recently got excited about the organization Common Sense for Maine.